If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show. Mix 94.1.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, July 22nd. It is 5:30 and we are ready to go this morning. How you doing?
Doing well. You feeling good?
Good. How was your day yesterday?
It was pretty, it wasn't very exciting, but I will share with you. Remember yesterday morning, I shared how I had a friend in town over the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. So this past Friday, a group of his friends were having, you know, like drinks and whatnot. I just joined in on the fun. I only really know him. And when the bill came, he, you ever get in that situation where you're with a group of people and they just motion, oh yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. That's all he said. He just
like they're going to pay for it.
That was my assumption.
Okay.
That was my assumption. So last night, before I go to bed, I get this text from Alvin. And
who's Alvin? Your friend?
Yes, my friend. He goes, if you could Venmo me $60 plus tax and tip.
Oh, geez.
And he never changes. Does anyone here have a friend that adds in stuff that you didn't order?
Like extra appetizers or something?
He tried to add in like a drink I don't even drink and some fruit plate that I never even ordered. I don't know if it was intentional or it was purely innocent, but yeah, I thought that was funny. I handled it maturely and I did not text him back.
Did you pay him back?
I will today. I just like to keep him. I like to keep him shaking his boots a little bit.
Oh,
overnight.
Yeah, playing little mind games on there.
A little coy and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I went to bed. And, I'll just let him know that I didn't order some of these items, but whatever.
Was it a mass text or was it targeted towards you specifically?
To me. So I'm sure he's texting every single individual. But, I mean, in my mind, you shouldn't have motioned to us, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it means I'm going to bill you later.
That's, yeah, well, I mean,
sure.
I guess it is fair, but I'm not a fan of paying for stuff that I didn't even have, you know what I mean?
And I also feel like you should just round things off, you know, tax and tip. I get it, but look, at the end of the day, if something is $43, let's round it to 45 or 40, whatever.
Yeah, I hear you. Oh, man.
How about you?
So I'm good. It was a nice day yesterday. Got out of here, had a couple of errands to run last night. We're into the show called Alice in Borderland that we're really into right now, and it's kind of like a Japanese Squid Game. It's really, really good. My daughter recommended it to us, and I went into it because of the title. I don't know why I thought this was like an American show, and I started watching it, and it's in Japanese, and I was like, oh, okay. I went in expecting one thing and got another, but we were so into it last night that we finished an episode at like 10:20, and it ended on a cliffhanger, and I was like, I gotta find out the answer to this. So we started the other one, so I kind of went to bed a little late, and I hate when I do that. I just get hooked on a show. But yeah, highly recommend if anyone's looking for a new show. It's not a new show. It's just new to us, basically.
It is purely in Japanese?
Yes, yes. But, we have the subtitles, so it works.
Okay. I know one word, konnichiwa.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
So you'll get some of the greetings, and that's about it.
Hopefully more if
yes,
I catch on.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was it for us last night, and a lot coming up on the show this morning. You know, we've got those passes for your advanced screening of Freakier Friday. Everybody's wanting to know about this. It looks so funny. I love Lindsay Lohan, Jamie Lee Curtis. It's happening 7:30 this morning. Also this morning, with Heads Up in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got a couple of passes for you to check out the Brotherly Love podcast live. Mm-hmm. Those are the Lawrence brothers, Joy Lawrence and Matthew Lawrence. Yeah. And there's another Lawrence. I can't remember his name, but they're all doing a podcast and they're going to be here live at the Strat. You can check it out for free. We've got those for you coming up this morning, but let's start the show. It is time for the pre-show. You pick them. You guys get to pick the first song of the show. Do you want to hear Funky Cold Medina by Tone Loc?
So I got up and strolled over to the other side of the cantina. I asked the guy, why are you so fly? He said, Funky Cold Medina.
Do you want to hear Believe by Cher?
Do you believe in love after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough, no.
Or do you want to hear Don't Tell Me by Avril Lavigne? Those are your choices. You can get your votes in right now. You can do it a couple of ways. Tweet us on X or Threads at Mercedes in the AM. You can vote on our Facebook page. That's Mercedes in the Morning, or text or call us right now, 702-364-9400. We'll count your votes now and reveal the winner next on Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the Morning. You know, I was just starting to enjoy summer, flip-flops, flopping, SPF caked on, and then it happened. I had a couple of errands to run yesterday, and I walked into Michael's, and I saw a gigantic animatronic skeleton holding a pumpkin spice latte.
What?
I was like, it's July. Like, wait, what is going on? Why is there a haunted hayride happening in aisle 9, I'm still like, I'm still peeling from my last sunburn. What is happening here? Halloween in July. Is this amazing or is it depressing? And then the reason why I was at Michael's, because have you guys heard of Summerween before?
Never.
Summerween. If you've ever watched the show Gravity Falls, that was a big thing. Here's Summerween.
Summer what?
Summerween. The people of this town love Halloween so much they celebrate it twice a year.
Summerween? Something about this feels unnatural.
So, Summerween is when you celebrate Halloween in the summer. And apparently that's now in real life, not just on Gravity Falls. My daughter, she just got invited to a Summerween party. So that means that we're looking for Halloween stuff, Halloween costume, all of that in the middle of swimsuit season, which I think is both hilarious and confusing to me. So do you, when you see Halloween and fall decorations in the summer, do you get excited or does it make you feel like, oh my gosh, this is way too early? 702-364-9400.
This is wild. I'm bringing this up right now. And matter of fact, Bath and Body Works also had a Summerween drop, Mercedes.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago. Look, not to be that guy, but I got to be that guy. I'm not a fan. I'm not.
Why not?
Because it takes away from what Halloween is, and that's October 31st. That's why. Like, I'll add on to that. Do we celebrate Christmas in July?
Well, we just gave away like tickets to the Nutcracker last week, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying. We don't celebrate Christmas more than one time a year because it's special. That's what it is. I think that takes away from the character of what Halloween is.
I at first I was skeptical, but the more I'm like helping my daughter out with this at the party, I realize it's just a way to be happy and to have fun. Maybe it's brilliant. Sometimes people get so down about just life in general. So if we bring a little happiness a little early, like what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, but I mean, there's other ways to be happy. Maybe a theme night. Maybe
Well, what if the theme is Halloween?
Okay. Okay. Now, I see where you're going with this. And yes to all that. But at the end of the day, for the entire country to celebrate Summerween, to me, it's a stretch.
What do you guys think? 702-364-9400. I'm actually into it. I think jack-o'-lanterns next to your pool noodles are kind of cool. I loved seeing Dracula when I was shopping yesterday. Steph, what do you think?
I am only behind this for one thing. And the one thing I love about Halloween and fall time is pumpkin spice lattes. And Starbucks already drops it on August, like late 26. August or something like that, right?
Yes.
So why not push it a little earlier?
Yeah, why not? People love it. There's a demand for it.
So putting PSLs in July, I am so down for it. Bring on the fall weather. Bring on the pumpkins and the jack-o'-lanterns. I am so behind this. I love this idea.
You love this? What about the anticipation? What about the anticipation of Halloween and PSLs? You're going to move it up? That takes away from what we're doing, the waiting.
Well, how long should we wait? What in your mind is the best amount of time to wait?
October 31st.
So no Halloween celebrations until actual?
Nope.
Not October 29th?
Nope.
You are like a party pooper.
For Christmas, who's the guy who's really, really mean?
And
the Grinch.
Stop it.
You are the Grinch of Halloween,
ladies,
Julian.
I have my Halloween outfits ready to go.
Well, then why are we celebrating?
Because that takes away from what it is. October 31st, that's the way it is.
It makes it fun. I know who's not getting invited to my Halloween party.
Sorry, Seth.
Mix 94.1.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes!
Good morning! It is 6:03 on Tuesday, July 22nd. Welcome to the show. We talk a lot about firsts in life, your first job, your first car, first time you realize you're not invincible. But what about those firsts as an adult? The ones where you finally stop mooching and start paying, Steph. Well, you just had one of those moments. What happened?
Oh, my God. This happened a couple days ago. So my husband and I, we were watching Netflix when all of a sudden we got kicked off of my mom's Netflix account. And I've been on my mom's Netflix account for almost, I don't know, like a decade.
Ooh.
And all of a sudden it was... It had that notification.
Oh, no.
You don't seem to be living in this household.
Okay.
I'm like, what? Okay, so now we have two options on the screen. It says, continue with putting in your login. And the second option was, I'm traveling. So I'm like, oh, I'll just pretend I'm traveling. Okay?
You are. You're traveling.
I am. I'm traveling, but even though
Vegas.
I'm staying at home and I live here. But my mom, she lives in another city. She lives in California. I'm obviously not in her household or even in the radius near it. And also my brothers are on the account too, and they live in different states. So we're all mooching off my mom's Netflix account.
Wow.
So now I press, I'm traveling. So I press it, and then it said, a code has been sent to your email. And it's
not the code.
I know, right? So now I'm texting my mom. I'm like, Mom, what's the code you got to your email so I can get into the Netflix account? And she doesn't mind. She's like, here's the code. And she shares it. I put it in and everything's working as normal. Now, later that night, my mom goes on to her Netflix account and it comes up with the same notification like she got kicked off into
They're
her
like,
account.
Are you traveling? Someone's traveling here. Who is it?
Yeah. So now I'm like, darn it, Mom. And now James and I, like, we're looking at each other. We're like, I think it's time. It's time to put on our adult pants and get our own Netflix account.
Oh, man.
So that's the indicator of adulthood.
Yeah. So here we are. Now I'm paying $16 a month for my new Netflix account. I'm starting all over from scratch.
It doesn't know you yet.
No.
It has to figure you out, gives you the shows to recommend. It's not catered to you.
It doesn't know that I've already watched K-pop Demon Hunters these shows. So, man, now I feel, is this like my rite of passage into adulthood?
I feel like, I mean, one minute you're watching Love is Blind, the next minute you're on the choose your plan screen, like you're signing up for some mortgage or something.
Yes.
But honestly, I feel like you're not there yet because you haven't stopped. So you haven't started paying for your cell phone bill.
Really? See, you're right.
I'm learning so much about you.
I'm still on my dad's cell phone plan, and my mom still plays for my Spotify account.
So you're not there yet. You're not peak adulthood yet. Sorry. You'll make your way there, but you're on the road.
Okay.
You're on the road.
I'm in my 30s, and I'm still not in my adulthood because my dad still pays for my cell phone bill.
You know what? I'm like, you know, they're offering, take it. There's no shame in your game. It's okay, Steph. Okay.
The day that they kick you off the cell phone bill is the day you realize they don't love you anymore.
You know what? We're going to throw a party. You know, like, you know, the Latin culture, they have quinceañeras?
Yes.
We're going to have one for me in my late 30s. Like, I am finally off my cell phone bill from my dad.
Oh, my gosh. That'll be the best. I love it. We have a lot coming up on the show this morning. Your passes to our advanced screening of Freakier Friday, 7:30 with the Mega Minute. Also, before that at 7, we're up to a $700 diamond pendant with Beat Mercedes, you guys. It is time to give this thing away. It is a Minden Tuesday, and we want to make you a winner. So be listening for that right at 7 o'clock. And coming up next, we have What's Trending. One of the most beloved TV sons of the 80s is gone, and the way it happened is absolutely heartbreaking. We have the details and the legacy he leaves behind coming up next in What's Trending.
Are you guys ready?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Mercedes in the Mornings, What's Trending? What's Trending on Mix 94.1.
Malcolm Jamal Warner is trending this morning. Some devastating news. The actor that played Theo Huxtable basically helped raise an entire generation of kids in the 80s, has passed away at 54 years old. He drowned on Sunday while swimming at Playa Cocles in Costa Rica, and officials say that a current pulled him under, and bystanders did try to save him, but he couldn't be revived. To say Theo was iconic, I think, is an understatement. He was the only son in the legendary Huxtable household, and the scenes with, you know, Bill Cosby, just, you know, a lot of people feel like those are like burned in their childhood brains. He didn't fade into the whole Where Are They Now file, though. He went on to star in Malcolm and Eddie, Read Between the Lines with Tracy Ellis Ross, and most recently he had a pretty powerful arc on 911. So just this May, he launched a podcast called Not All Hood to explore the diversity within the Black community. His words were that there are so many different facets, and we really wanted to explore them, which I think is pretty incredible. He was really a private guy, though. He married a dad.
He
kept their names out of the spotlight. Like, nobody knows much about their family, but it just felt like, I think a lot of people felt like they knew him.
I definitely felt like I knew him. That dude, Theo Huxtable, got me through my childhood. You know, even though that show took place in, I believe it was Brooklyn Heights, they were so just relatable to me, especially him, because, you know, he would go to his dad, right, and just come to him with all these specific problems. I remember being a kid, I'm like, yo, that's me. Those are the same problems that I have, or I can relate to that. And yeah, low key, I got when I heard the news yesterday, I got teary. I'm not gonna definitely got very emotional.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are definitely in mourning. It was a big part of a lot of the Gen Xers, like, childhood, and just the fact that he still stayed relevant. I remember he played AC Cowlings in the OJ Simpson remake. Did you see that, the remake on OJ Simpson's, like, American Crime Story, The People versus OJ Simpson? He was in that.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think what else. He was in Dexter, Sons of Anarchy. He was in. There was just a lot of things that he was involved with.
He was also in a jazz band. I remember watching an interview, and he was also a musician. Don't quote me on everything word for word, but I believe his group won an award or something like that. So that was like a passion project turned professional as well.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. Bill Cosby was reportedly devastated by the news of his death. His rep said it reminded him of getting the call when his son Ennis was murdered in 1997. I guess Ennis and Malcolm Jamal Warner used to play together when they were young, and they said that Bill was on the phone with Felicia Rashad reminiscing about Malcolm. So just some really sad news about losing an 80s TV icon, and that is what's trending. Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. Let's talk about upselling here. Are you in a job where you have to sell things? And part of that is the upsell. I think we've all had a job, maybe if you've ever been in sales of some sort, where they encourage you to, hey, suggestive selling, have them buy this or whatever. Have you ever had someone try to sell you something that you didn't actually need? 702-364-9400. Steph just went through this during just a routine car appointment. And if you work in a place that upsells, what do you think about this? So what happened?
So I took in my husband's car for the normal annual smog check, and he also got an oil change. Everything was great. He passed his smog. Now, this is what I dread about going to the car shop, especially as a female. I feel stereotyped, like, oh, she doesn't know anything about cars. We can probably upsell her. And I feel like that every single time I go in there. So it's like routine and clockwork for me. Whenever I go into the car shop, if they're ever trying to upsell me anything, I always say, thank you. I will consult with my husband and I will let you know if I need anything.
Consult. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like these words.
So now after this routine oil and smog check, here comes the laundry list of things that allegedly my husband's car needs, okay? He comes up, they come back. Oh, you need an oil pan with gasket that's needed.
Oh my gosh.
$1,000, okay?
That's serious, yeah.
Yeah, and then another thing, a transmission pan gasket. I have no idea what any of these things are, by the way.
I think they're banking on that.
Exactly, exactly. But here's the kicker that really upset me. So they said that my husband needed a new car battery. And I'm like, a new car battery? And they're quoting him for like $250. So I take a picture of this laundry list of things that is necessary, allegedly necessary for my husband's car. He comes back to me and he goes, can you actually do me a favor? After you leave the shop, stop by AutoZone real quick and actually check the percentage of battery on my car. I was like, not a problem. Stop by AutoZone. The guy comes out to the car. He has his little tablet phone thing that's connected to the battery of my husband's car. And he comes back with the results and says, your battery life is extremely great. 100%.
Oh, see, get in the zone. Oh, AutoZone.
And that's why I love them. And that's why I was so upset. Like, I've been going to this car shop and they know me and my husband for years, since we've moved here for 6 years. They were reliable. But ever since that time, they try to upsell us for something unnecessary. I don't think I'm ever going back.
That's frustrating. And I get what you're saying about the being a female, like feeling like they're taking advantage of the fact that you don't know a lot about cars. And I remember this was years ago, like 15 years ago, I went in for an oil change, same thing. They told me I needed 4 new tires and a new air filter, which is funny because I had just replaced those like 2 weeks before that.
Mm.
And I was like, I go, really? I do? And they're like, yeah, you know, we just want it's preventative. Da, da, da. I go, so are you supposed to replace tires every 2 weeks? And he just looked at me. And
I see what you're doing.
Because I just replaced them 2 weeks ago. And they're like, well, maybe I got the wrong report. Like, it was a whole thing. My husband went in there and just went off on them. Like, how dare you try to take advantage of my wife? Would you have told me the same thing? And they came up with some excuse, you know.
Preventative. That is the key word. Everything is preventative. I don't know if I have a story that's as major as yours, Steph, or maybe even you Mercedes, but I remember going to the dealership and, you know, I already have, my lights are fine, okay? They're bright enough. And the dealer tried to sell me these LED lighting upgrade packages with LED. I've never heard of this. An LED protectant, which would protect from the condensation. And to be fair, that makes sense, right? I'm sure this upgrade would do a better job. But it's over $700. And what he doesn't know is that I already had a lighting upgrade.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had a lighting upgrade. And he said, and I mentioned that to him. He goes, oh, well, you could just add the protectant for $300. I don't necessarily think that he had any ill will, right? Maybe I don't fault anyone from upselling, but I think your two stories right there, that's pretty blatant. Now, is it possible, not Mercedes' story, but your story, Steph, is it possible he just made a mistake? Maybe he just didn't check the battery
If you think you're
enough,
if this business or this person has been in this industry allegedly for almost 20 years, they promote it. We've been here for 20 plus years. You would think that they're reliable and that they are the people to go to for these answers. So this simple mistake, imagine they're replacing a brand new battery. What are they going to do? They're going to realize when they lift up the hood, oh, she doesn't really need it. Oh, I made a mistake. They're not going to come back and say that they made a mistake.
Yeah.
They want the money from me.
Okay, well, I take it back.
We got a text here. It says, I'm a service advisor. And yeah, upselling happens. We're trained to recommend preventative maintenance, but not all shops are honest about what's actually necessary. This text says, I used to upsell when I worked at a big box store. The rule was, if they're breathing, they need the protection plan.
Oh my gosh. Stop.
Let's talk to Melissa. Melissa, good morning. What do you think?
Good morning. I've been a victim of this.
What happened to you?
I had just done my brakes on a car, and I told my wife to take it down to get the tires balanced and rotated. And sure enough, you know, she gets me a call. She's like, hey, they're telling me the brakes are really bad. They need to be replaced. You know, it's dangerous for you to be driving like this. So I told her, I'm like, is he a young kid? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, they're just trying to upsell you. I'm like, let them know, hey, you know, they're so dangerous, but, you know, my wife just did them a couple weeks ago. Said the kid turned bright red, was embarrassed. And he's like, I'm sorry, we're supposed to keep our job. We got to upsell any job we touch.
That is frustrating. I get it. Like, when I worked in retail, I worked at a clothing store, and they always said, like, do suggestive selling. So someone goes on to try on a shirt, bring them a pair of pants. Like, oh, these would look great with that, you know, like that. But I never said, like, your pants have a hole in them. You need those new pants, you know? That's just lying.
Yeah.
Hot, hot, hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
And the Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
Swifties are currently in full detective mode. That's thanks to a very mysterious album countdown that's happening right now on Taylor Swift's social media. She's been posting about each of her albums in order, starting with debut, and fans are convinced that this means Taylor's version of her self-titled album is finally about to drop. Each post is tied to something called the Taylor Swift The Eras Tour archival website, which is, it's really giving like secret portal energy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it includes a reminder to join a listening party. Nobody knows exactly what is coming, but if there is one thing that Taylor loves, I think it's a surprise reveal after a very dramatic buildup. So basically, get ready. Something is coming. There's something going down. We're just trying to figure out what it is.
Do you think it's pretty much going to be new music that's going to be announced? I think so, right?
No, I just said saying it's debut, that Taylor's version of debut that they're saying is going to be released.
My bad.
But do you think it's new music instead?
Yeah, well, I think it's alluding to that for sure. I'm thinking, what else could it be, right?
Taylor's version of debut.
Yeah, right. And then I'm also thinking, where'd she find the time? This girl must live off coffee. She is like the busiest woman ever, right?
I feel like she's been out of the public eye for a little bit. After the Eras Tour wrapped up, I mean, she did a couple of games for Travis, but I actually felt like she was kind of in hiding. I was missing her a little bit, and like, I want more. I just saw she recently celebrated Selena Gomez's birthday with her, and that was like, that was not enough. That was like, you know, when a drug dealer gives you a little taste of something and you want more. I felt like, okay, you gave me a taste. Bring some more to me, you know?
Fair.
I'm addicted. Also this morning, according to a massive new study, like 2 million people across 164 countries, the youngest age kids should be allowed to have a phone or join social media is 13. Anything younger, and you're basically inviting sleep issues, depression, family disconnection, and a whole lot of emotional chaos by the time they hit their 20s. The researchers did point to three big culprits when it came to kids and phones. One is late night scrolling. It goes on and on and does not end. Cyberbullying from kids and adults, which is crazy. Like adults who cyberbully kids and then pulling away from their families. There's just a disconnect there. And if you're thinking 13 still sounds kind of young, you're not alone. Some experts are now saying 16 actually might be the real sweet spot to give your kid a phone.
I'm thinking 30.
30?
Yeah.
That's it for you.
Yeah, 30. 16 is way too, I think it's way too loose for the exact reasons that you just gave. You know, we've seen what's on social media. Let's make it 40 at this point.
Yeah. Just keep the phones away. Finally, this morning. Now, I don't know how I feel about this. I actually feel it's kind of genius, but what do you guys think? A writer for Slate might have stumbled on the greatest kid gift hack of all time. And it's a gift of a candy bar with a $20 bill wrapped around it. Now, check this out. She was rushing to a birthday party and she didn't have time to buy a present. So she just slapped a 20 on a Kit Kat and called it a day. And her expectations were really low until the birthday boy shouted, "Money and candy," and declared it his favorite gift. His parents loved it too, mostly because it wasn't another like giant plastic toy taking up space in the living room. So now it's her go-to gift for every kid, every occasion. No batteries, no assembly, no stress. What do you think? Was there a gift that you received as a kid that was like, it wasn't the grandest gift of all time, but it was something that you absolutely loved?
You know, to be honest with you, I love this idea. I would get super excited when I would get just money. $5, $10, $15. Keep it simple. You know, we get money in those little red envelopes in our culture. And I mean, that really made my day. So I love this idea. And the fact that you get a candy bar as well, Mercedes, it's like you win twice. You
throw the candy bar in there for a little added gift. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
I think that it's definitely something that the kids are going to love. They're very simple. I don't think you have to make it too complicated.
Exactly.
I remember one of my girlfriend's kids, they came over to our house and we had just gotten a package. And in the package was a bunch of those like packing peanuts and it was a big box. And I remember her daughter was like so like into playing with the packing peanuts and like jumping in the box and stuff that when they left, I said, I'm going to save this and I'm going to give it to her for her birthday. And now I gave her something else. I gave her a gift card too, but I wrapped up this giant box with the packing peanuts in it, nothing else, and gave it to her with a gift card too. I think it was like, oh gosh, I can't remember what the store was. Maybe it was like Target or something. Uh-huh. And her mom texted me that night saying, she will not stop playing with the box with packing peanuts. Like, it is her favorite gift. And people gave her Barbies and toys, and my packing peanuts box was like the hit of the party.
All right, so that is the ultimate gift then.
Yeah, packing peanuts or candy bars. There you go.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
It's time for Beat Mercedes. Mercedes. Can you guess the song faster than she can? Let's go.
Michelle, you're caller 20.
Woo!
How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Really good. Are you ready to win this $700 diamond pendant from Mike Lehman and Diamond Jewelers?
Yes, I am.
I want you to get this so bad. I'm sure it'll look great on you. You just got to guess the song and the artist faster than I can. When you listen to Beat Mercedes, how do you do? Do you do pretty well?
Oh, no.
Oh my gosh. We literally lost her.
Give me one second.
Hey, go to line 8. That's Albert.
Okay.
That's our backup, okay?
Line 8.
Albert, you're caller 21. You get to play Beat Mercedes. Hey, it pays to be 21. We always leave you in case of an emergency. So congratulations, Albert. Are you ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm going to leave the studio. All you got to do is guess the song and the artist faster than I can. We'll see you in a second. Good luck, Albert.
Okay.
Okay, Mercedes is leaving the building. Albert, here we go. This is how the song breaks down. I'll play you 20 seconds of the song, And then you have that amount of time to guess what it is. When you say, when you know the song and the artist, yell got it. And then you're going to have 5 seconds to guess what it is, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Song starts now.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
What you got?
Is it Prince's When Doves Cry?
Prince's When Doves Cry. Is that your final answer? Prince's When Doves Cry.
Prince
When Doves Cry. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see what happens. Okay, Mercedes. Prince When Doves Cry. Oh, give me 1 second. Okay. What you doing, man? You going to work?
I just dropped off my wife at work.
Okay, cool. Well, very cool. Thanks for having us on. Okay, Mercedes, are you back? Oh, hold on. There we go. Mercedes, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, there we go. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Song starts now.
Got it. When Doves Cry by Prince.
Prince, When Doves Cry. Ramon, I need that time. Thank you so much. Mercedes. 1 second. Well, 1:31 is exact time, and you are correct. Prince, When Doves Cry. But Albert got it correct. Prince, When Doves Cry. 4.73 seconds.
So that means I win.
You win.
All right, Albert. That's 4 seconds is really good. But yeah, this is an iconic song. I knew the second I heard that Prince guitar that we were in for a treat. So I am so sorry. That means another day, another win for me. So that tomorrow you get to try and win. All right. So yeah, caller 20 will get to try to play tomorrow. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. Thank you guys so much for joining us this morning. Has anyone ever told you that you look like a celebrity and it kind of ruined your day when they told you that? 702-364-9400. And not in a, wow, you look like Margot Robbie kind of way. I'm talking about the ones that kind of feel like a low blow disguised as a compliment, where you immediately are like, wait, what? Because I didn't think this was a low blow, but my husband took it as a low blow. So we saw Superman over the weekend, right? And my daughter, Sophie, after it's over, turns to my husband and says, you kind of look like the Green Lantern. Now, at first that might sound cool, except she meant Guy Gardner, which is, this is another topic I want to get on in a second, but like she meant the Guy Gardner Green Lantern, which is different than the, is it Hal Jordan Green Lantern? Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't Ryan Reynolds. She's talking about the actor Nathan Fillion who plays him. Now, I mean, if you've seen the movie, you know the vibe. Bowl cut, intense stare. Feels like he would get in an argument with like a barista over how much foam is on his cappuccino.
Oh, like he's a Kyle.
He's kind of like crabby, you know?
Yeah.
So Matt was instantly annoyed, not confused, not flattered, just mad. And so Sophie tried to walk it back. She goes, minus the Mark Davis cut, like the bowl cut. Which only made it worse, right?
Hold on. Mark Davis cut? I am dead because it's like a bull straight bang type of deal. I did not even observe that.
She was trying to backtrack at this point because he was just like, what the heck? And like the haircut was the only problem here. So I had to jump in and do damage control like I was managing his image during some sort of a scandal or something. I pulled up Nathan Fillion's Instagram and was like, look, he's a good looking guy. Like this guy's handsome, man. You look like this handsome guy. But Matt was all upset about it, which is funny because then not 10 minutes after I saw the movie, I was asking Ramon some questions on text about the movie, like if I missed something. And he goes, you know who Matt looks like? The Green Lantern.
I'm glad you brought that up because me and Steph thought the same thing. And after watching it, like the second time, I was like, yeah, that's Matt.
Okay, so good. Picture this. Me and Ramon, we meet up before the Aces game. We're at the arena and we're talking about the movie and we're like totally into it. It's super intense. And then I'm like, okay, real talk. Doesn't the Green Lantern look like Matt. And then Ramon's like, oh my God, I'm so glad you said it because I didn't want to say it first.
Well, let me explain something to me, Ramon. Like, why are there different Green Lanterns? I'm confused. Like, Guy Gardner and then Hal Jordan. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, there's Guy Gardner, Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and then there's another one, Kyle Ratner. I believe so. There's millions of Green Lanterns in the universe. Not only is there different versions of the Green Lantern, there's Orange Lanterns, there's Yellow Lanterns,
what?
There's Red Lanterns, there's Blue Lanterns. The Green Lantern lore is very deep, very vast. Like, the comic books are crazy.
Okay, right? I didn't know that.
Me
yeah, there's
either.
So many. And they all, right, because green is Will. Green is will, yellow is fear, blue is like emotion, red is rage, orange is greed. Every color is a different type of feeling.
You just schooled me on DC because I was like, wait a second, where's Ryan Reynolds? Why is this? What's this Nathan Fillion? So yeah, he kind of took it as an insult. Have you ever been told you look like a celebrity and you did not take it as a compliment? You were like, what the heck? 702-364-9400.
I just got to add, your husband, I can see the facial similarities with Guy Gardner, but the bowl cut, definitely not.
Yeah,
the
thank goodness, cut, right?
Yeah, and thank God you told him that. You know what I mean?
Never, ever get a bowl cut, you know? I just got a text here. This one says, someone once told me I look like Steve Buscemi. I've never emotionally recovered. You know, he's quirky. I wouldn't take that as an insult, though. He's just a quirky guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was part of your attitude. Like, maybe you were really funny and that added to it. I don't know. Let's talk to Jennifer. Jennifer, what was the celebrity compliment you get that you were kind of like, okay?
Hi. Well, in the 90s and early 2000s, every day I would get, I look like Celine Dion.
And okay.
You didn't take that as...
I didn't really take that too much as a compliment.
Oh, man, I would totally. I would. She's gorgeous. You must be beautiful, Jennifer. Do you still look like Celine Dion?
Yeah, just a fatter version.
Hey, man, it happens sometimes, right?
I will share with you. Do you guys know who Bobby Lee is?
Oh, yeah, of course, a comedian.
I'll never forget when somebody told me, you remind me of Bobby Lee, except a less portly version. And I was livid. I was like, that ruined my entire day. Don't get me wrong, I like Bobby Lee. He's a funny comedian. I like his podcast, and you know, I remember him from Mad TV. But I don't think I look like him at all. And then when the person added the less portly version, that was kind of like the nail in the coffin.
What, you mean? Wanted to be the portly version of
him? No, I don't want to be portly at all. And I don't think I look anything like him. You know what I mean?
I think it's just like on preference. Like if you relate to the person, this text says, someone said I look like a young Dr. Phil. And hey. I could not make eye contact with that person again.
I think he's looked exactly the same since he was 20 to now.
Yeah, for sure. This one says, my coworker told me I remind her of Jonah Hill in Superbad and followed it up with, but like funny and sweaty. What? And then this one, oh, this one's the best. A guy at a bar told me I look like if Ed Sheeran had a rough day. I'm a girl.
Oh, man. I can see you, though, Mercedes, as like you trying to do damage control and you're like Matt's publicist. Like, okay, we're going to go out there. We're going to be fine. Yes, they say you look like the Green Lantern, but we're going to make sure that your personality shines through it all.
Oh, man. I sent him Nathan Fillion's Instagram. I'm like, look at this guy. He's so handsome.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're so handsome.
How did he respond? How did he take it?
He was like, okay.
Fine.
Okay, just don't mention it next time you guys see him, okay?
Sorry, Matt, if you're listening.
All right, let's do it. It is time this morning for the Mega Minute. Your tickets, four of them, to the advanced screening of Freakier Friday. AMC Town Square, you're going to see it first and for free. We're talking Lindsay Lohan. We're talking Jamie Lee Curtis. We want to send you to see it before all of your friends do. So caller 20 right now, you get to play the Mega Minute. 10 questions, 60 seconds. You get all of them correct in that time, and you are going to the movies. Caller 20 gets to play right now. 702-364-9400.
Are you ready? It's time. for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Jill, you are caller 20. Are you ready to try your hand at the Mega Minute here?
I am.
All right. 60 seconds, 10 questions. You get them all correct in that time, and you get a 4-pack of tickets to our advanced screening of Freakier Friday. You ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Okay, Jill, if you're struggling with a question or you get one wrong, you can revisit it in the end if we have time. And with that said, the Mega Minute starts now.
The viral kiss cam moment took place at which artist's concert?
Oh, I don't know. Cute.
Pass?
Pass.
Oscar the Grouch lives on what famous street?
Sesame Street.
Yes. What U.S. state is south of North Dakota?
South Dakota.
Yes. What do you call a cocktail consisting of coconut, rum, and pineapple?
Pass.
What singer's real name is Robin Fenty?
Pass.
What is the 40-day period leading up to Easter called? What do you call the rite of passage for girls turning 15 in Latin American cultures?
Quinceañera?
Yes. In Harry Potter, what name is given to non-magical people?
Pass.
The Netflix. Oh, darn it, Jill. I'm sorry. I think it's like all how you start. And if you have a tough question that you don't know the answer to at the beginning, it kind of like goes downhill there, but you really gave it a good effort. So that first question, the viral kiss cam moment that everybody's been talking about, took place at which artist's concert? That was at a Coldplay concert. Mm-hmm. The cocktail consisting of coconut, rum, and pineapple is a pina colada. The singer whose real name is Robin Fenty, that is Rihanna. What is the 40-day period leading up to Easter called? That's called Lent. And in Harry Potter, what name is given to non-magical people? That would be a muggle. I'm so sorry, Jill. And that means caller 20 right now. You are going to get these tickets, four of them, to check out Freakier Friday, your advanced screening at AMC Town Square. Caller 20, you get the tickets right now. 702-364-9400.
Hot, hot, hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
And the Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress, just like David says. Sleep easy, friends.
The latest Wallet Hub ranking of the best and worst school systems in the country is out, and the results are great news if you live in Massachusetts and a little grim if you live here in Nevada. The rankings looked at performance and funding and safety and class size and how qualified the instructors were. And once again, Massachusetts, top of the class at the highest quality rating and some of the best test scores in the nation. Mm. Connecticut came in second overall with strong safety ratings and low student to teacher ratios, followed by New Jersey, Virginia, and New Hampshire. Now, at the bottom of the list, it was New Mexico, came in dead last for quality and overall performance, but Nevada did not escape the bottom five either. We ranked 46th for quality and 49th for safety. Like, it's really bad. If that sounds a little too familiar, it's because it is. It's not a fluke. It's a pattern here that we've seen for the last few years. And when the majority of your school systems rank closer to rock bottom year after year, maybe it's time to ask some harder questions here. Like, are we actually investing in kids, or are we just pretending to be investing in kids? What's going on here?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I had heard that before I moved in. What do you have any ideas, Mercedes, as far as like, you know, just being here a long time, like solutions and things like that, ideas?
Well, I think that we need to invest more in the schools. And, you know, I thought that when we had the legal marijuana, all this money was going to go to our Clark County school system. And I don't know if it is or if it isn't, but Doesn't seem like we're improving very much.
I feel right. like there's a weird correlation. Maybe it's not by coincidence, but it is by design. But you're saying that the top two states are Massachusetts and Connecticut. And Massachusetts, right there, there's Harvard.
Harvard, yeah.
And then these Ivy League schools in Connecticut, there's Yale. So I feel like these students, or maybe growing up, these Ivy Leagues are in their backyard. So they're seeing it for themselves. Like, yeah. I don't know if us here in Las Vegas, we really technically maybe have that. I don't know if that's a solution per se. But it's just an observation that I made when I lived in Connecticut.
That they're making these goals to make it to some of these schools that are right there in front of their faces. That's a really good observation. I never thought of that.
Yeah. And I also hope that the teachers are getting everything they need. You know what I mean? As far as resources and just ensuring they're getting backed up as much as they need, because they're so important. Shout out to all the teachers for sure.
Also this morning, Southwest Airlines is making a major change. And if you're someone who strategically hovers around the gate to get the best seat on the plane, you might want to sit down, because starting on January 27th, the airline is officially ending its open seating policy and introducing assigned seats for the very first time. This is a huge shift for a company that has basically built its entire identity around first come, first serve boarding. Along with the new seating system, they're going to roll out some extra legroom. They're going to roll out some preferred seats for a price, naturally. And instead of the A, B, C group boarding, passengers are going to now be divided into 8 groups. No word yet on whether that means more confusion at the gate or fewer people stampeding to be first in line. But you know we're going to find out the hard way for sure.
Yeah, break this down for me, because I've only flown Southwest twice. But it's dependent on the boarding group, right? So if you're normally A, then you'll get you'll get first dibs on the seating, correct?
Right.
So if it's open seating, if it's going to be assigned seating, then at the end of the day, I mean, if you're going to be, let's say hypothetically, you're in group C or D or, you know, whatever, you're in the latter part of the group, then you know you're going to be in the, you know, probably towards the back of the plane, right?
No, I don't know. Not necessarily. They're having 8 boarding groups, like I had said. And then maybe that's just kind of like based on your section. I'm sure there'll be like a premium section that gets to board first. And then, I'm not really sure how it works other than the 8 boarding groups. So it'll be interesting to see how long that lasts, if it does last. I know a lot of customers, myself included, are not happy about that. I really like the way it is right now. That's why I fly Southwest so much.
It frustrates me, because first it's the bags, the free checked-in bags, right? And then now they're rolling out the assigned seating. It's like, I love Southwest, and I love my companion pass. Me and James, you know, when I fly, he flies free. And that's like the only thing that's keeping me to Southwest is that companion pass. But other than that, it's like, what else is the difference? Doesn't like other airlines provide companion passes as well?
I'm not sure if they do. That is a nice little perk on Southwest. But yeah, I'm a Southwest girly. And then when I have to fly like international, I was typically United, but like, I have this United card, and now like their annual fee has gone up. So I'm like, maybe I don't need this card anymore, you know?
The worst airline, and I'm sorry to say this, is Philippine Airlines. It was so bad when I went to the Philippines. They canceled my flight. I was stuck in LA. James and I had to figure out how to get to San Francisco, then to Manila in like 3 hours. But
San Francisco to Manila in 3 hours.
Sorry, LA to San Francisco. Like,
how do you do
San
that?
San Francisco to Manila. It was just so, it was the hottest mess of my whole entire life.
Finally, this morning, let's talk about this viral conversation. This is really funny. Actually, we just got a text about Southwest. I want to read this really quick. My wife works for Southwest, and the employees hate these changes also. The new board members are all about the money, not the customers.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
All right. Finally, this morning, 50 years from now, what tech are we going to look back on and think, wow, we really thought that was advanced? There's an online discussion that's going viral, and the internet's really divided. Let's just say our grandchildren are definitely going to judge us. Some of the top answers that people have are charging cables. They think that, you know, people are going to look back and be like, wait, you had to physically plug your devices in every day? Like, it's kind of, yeah, I can kind of understand that. Game consoles, streaming everything, will make those feel prehistoric. And loud engine noise. Like, you know how people used to pay extra for that, for their cars to be like really, really loud?
Yeah.
Annoying. But the most polarizing entry is toilet paper.
What?
Yes. People said it's wasteful, it's unsanitary, it's borderline medieval, especially considering how often we use it.
That all makes sense, but I just can't imagine a replacement for toilet paper. Like what?
Like a bidet?
Okay. But they got to make it more economical. I mean, can you imagine how much? I mean, bidets are expensive.
I think that you can get them like on Amazon and hook them up to your toilet now for a reasonable price. I don't have one, but I've heard that you can do that.
I just think I've tried a bidet. And no, I just don't like it because I just feel weird.
Like, I didn't like the feeling either.
And then like I don't feel done. Like I feel like it was still wet, I guess.
Yeah.
Like where are we drying here?
I was in Hawaii and I went to a restaurant and they had one in the toilet and I didn't know it. And so I went to the bathroom and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, like what? Like it scared the, well, it scared the crap out of me.
Yeah,
basically.
It did.
Can you do that again?
Woo!
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. We are getting a lot of feedback on social media and a lot of messages on social media about the Spud Bros who were on the show yesterday. They were so much fun. They actually headed back to the UK last night, but we had so much fun with them in studio yesterday. If you missed that interview, you can hear it on our podcast from yesterday. And also, we have some fun social media with them on our Instagram if you want to check that out. But it was funny because, you know, we're talking to them. One thing that they were raving about, both on and off the air, was how friendly everyone in Vegas was. They said that in the UK, if you talk to a stranger, they are going to assume you're either trying to scam them or steal something from them. But here, they were just completely shocked by how nice people were.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I got to concur with them. I noticed nothing but the best hospitality here in Vegas. I've been here a month, and I mean, I haven't had a bad circumstance whatsoever, Mercedes.
Well, that got me thinking, because are we really that friendly in Vegas, or were they just lucky? Are you just lucky? I don't deny that the service here, I think it's the best in the world, honestly. But lately, I've heard a lot of people say that service in Las Vegas is not what it used to be, whether it's long waits at restaurants or hotel staff that seems checked out, or just the general feeling that like some of the Vegas magic is gone, that something feels off. And I've heard that a lot. So when they said that, I was really happy. Like, oh, that's great. I'm glad you had a great experience. Maybe, you know, it might be in our heads, but you know, tourism is actually down in Vegas right now. And I'm wondering, is that because of the service, the prices? Could that be part of the reason? Or is it the other way around? Has the drop in visitors made the hospitality workers just feel so burned out and underpaid and just over it altogether? What do you think? Has service in Las Vegas slipped? Or are we just expecting too much? 702-364-9400. Thoughts?
Yeah, I just can't imagine it. I just can't imagine. I think it's conditioning. You know what I mean? I suspect that the culture of Vegas is really good service. So when you have maybe hypothetically maybe something that's half a step down, then some people might say, oh, that's not good service. But I think it depends also where you come from, conditioning, what you're used to. Where I came from was Seattle, and that was like the worst service ever. No, it's legit. People act like they did not want to be there. Retail establishment. So here it was such a refresher.
Let's talk to Abby. Abby, you are you went out and you had an incident with a server. What happened?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say I'm a big fan of yours and listen all the time.
Oh, thank
you. So this
you.
Is pretty cool. Yeah. But I had a waitress the other night who was just too friendly, and she was flirting with my husband, and it just got really annoying. Like, she came to the table so much. Maybe she's desperate for tips. I don't know. But, you know, she came to the table so much. And at first it was like asking how we were doing. Okay. But then she came so much that we couldn't even eat.
Oh.
And yeah. I mean, she was asking personal questions like, yeah, where we were from, but also like, why are we going out to dinner? All these different personal questions. It was just so annoying. So I just want to say, I'd rather have a wait person who's less attentive than over attentive.
That's an interesting take, Abby.
Is it possible maybe she was just looking to do a really good job? You know what I mean? Just based off everything we had just chatted about, is it possible she's just trying to just put her best foot forward and give 10 out of 10 service? Abby?
It's possible, but I just think that there's a line. Like, it's great to be friendly and cordial and nice, but it's another thing if you're interrupting a meal practically and being too friendly. Like, please remember that if we're paying to go out, like, we're not paying to talk with wait staff. We're not paying for a conversation with a stranger.
Well, Abby, hold on one second. I really do appreciate a friendly server. I like it. I like the, you know, interaction. But on, you know, I do get what you're saying. I don't want people to misinterpret it like you're being snobby or anything. But I do get, like, you have to kind of read the room, read the table. Like, there's been times where I've been out with a girlfriend and she's having, like, a really bad situation and she's, like, crying at the table. And then the server comes up like, hi, how's everything going? It's like read the table. Like, yeah. we're now is not the time. So maybe, you know, she should have read your table a little bit better. Maybe she was just trying to be really friendly. But let's talk to Dana because... Dana, you're on the other side of things. You're actually a server. What's going on?
Well, I am, and I kind of take offense to this, because since when is being friendly considered flirting? I mean, I am trying to make your dining experience more pleasurable, and to be crabby and nasty and not attentive is not going to do that. So I'm trying to be kind to all my customers, all people in general, and I can't tell you the dirty looks I get from any female sitting there. It could be a girlfriend, a mother, an aunt, of any female sitting with a man. The looks I get are ridiculous.
Do they all think like you're flirting with the guy, or are you directing most of your conversation that you're having to the table to the guy? Or
no, okay. Absolutely not. It's being directed to the patrons together to make their experience more pleasant. Me being grumpy, even if I have an off day, I do not bring to my job. I try to just, you know, whatever my problem is not their problem, and I'm trying to make their experience a pleasant one. And look, I'm a lesbian. I don't want their guy. There you go.
You're just trying to make a living.
You preach, Dana. She said, I don't want your man. I have a girl my own.
Keep your man. Buy a dessert.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it. But we'll take more of your calls. Has service gone downhill in Vegas? Are servers overly friendly? Have you been in a situation where you felt like the server was flirting with the person that you're in? More of your calls coming up next. It's Mix 94.1.
You were right there all along.
Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. If you are just tuning in, we're talking about something a lot of people have some strong opinions on. Has service in Vegas gone downhill? We had the Spud Bros on the show yesterday, and they were great. And they're from the UK, and they couldn't stop talking about how nice everyone is here. They were genuinely shocked that strangers would start conversations with them. They say in the UK, that would make people assume you were trying to rob them. But that made us ask, is Vegas really still that friendly? Because lately, some locals and some visitors have noticed the opposite. Long wait times, staff who seem kind of checked out, service that doesn't quite match the price tag. We're talking about it right now at 702-364-9400. Hey, Billy, good morning. What do you think?
Hey, good morning. So I think you said something about the tourism dropping, and I think that's a big part of it. I think with international not there and a lot of our drive market out there being fifth straight month in a row that we're down, I think that jobs can get cut. And I think it's just for a lot of employees that have given amazing customer service to keep, you know, excited when they feel like their job's on the chopping block.
Yeah, you cut out just a little, so I want to reiterate what you said just in case people couldn't hear it, but that your whole theory is that since tourism is down, it's causing a lot of these places to cut jobs, and so people that are working in them, they're stressed out. You know, they're probably doing more than one person's job. They're worried about losing their job, and you think that might be partially to blame for the customer service possibly going down.
Yeah, I think that they're just worried because they, you know, they have friends that are working in different areas that are getting cut their jobs. They don't know what's going to happen in their department. They see whole hotels shutting down like Mirage. I mean, some of those Mirage employees open the property. So, I mean, it's hard to keep excited when you don't know what's going to happen with your job.
Yeah, 100%. That's such a good point, Billy. Thank you so much for calling. Let's talk to Heidi. Heidi, you're a server. How long have you been a server for?
So I was a server for 15 years at a luxury hotel. And that is where service meets the standard. And when I heard Abby say, oh, she was flirting. No, honey, she probably had a sour face. And that server was trying to, like, make her happy so she can get a tip. Because I've had plenty of women like that at my tables. Honey, I don't want your husband. I want your money.
I love it.
Money.
That's what I'm saying. People are just trying to be nice. You know what I mean? They're just trying to put on their best foot forward, especially in these conditions, right?
Exactly. And, you know, you read the room. She was probably giving a sour face. And this poor server was probably going, oh, my God, I need to make them happy. They don't like their food. They don't like this. And she was probably going back to that table constantly because that girl was probably sour face.
Yeah, I get it. I love when the servers are friendly and talk to you. What does get on my nerves, though, is when my husband doesn't stop talking when it's time to stop talking. Like, he loves to have a conversation with the servers. And I'm like, okay, honey, like, let them go. They have other tables, you know? It's time for them to get back to them.
Yeah.
I love it because when I've been out with you, Mercedes, and Matt, I see it live in person.
Oh, yeah.
It's right there in front of me. And I love to witness it because Matt, I feel like we went down. Okay, we sat down in a restaurant and every single person that worked there that walked by the table was Matt. What's up, Jimmy? How have you been?
He knows all of them.
How's the kids? Hey, did you end up getting those sneakers off StockX? Like, he knows them.
He does.
That is such a rare gem to have. But I get it, though, because you and Matt have opposite personalities when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I'm just sitting there quiet, and he's, you know, he's planning our next weekend vacation with someone.
I love this. I got a question. Does Matt ever overtalk the servers? Like, does he ever talk so long that the servers actually have to go?
Yes.
And wait
all the time. All the time. They're like, I gotta check on. And he's like, but one more thing. You know, it's like, oh my goodness. And I love it because he just really appreciates people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all
people
meant
person.
From a good place. Some of the texts we're getting here. We stayed at a major strip hotel last month for a staycation. Valet lost our car for 45 minutes and the front desk guy just shrugged. Vegas hospitality ain't what it used to be. This one from Mike says it's not just the service, it's the vibe. Everyone used to be in a good mood in Vegas. Now it feels like everyone's annoyed, workers and tourists. And then this one says, this is from Kevin. I've lived here 12 years. Locals still know how to treat people. But some of these resorts, all they see is dollar signs. The service feels transactional now.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I know. I just feel bad because Billy just brought up such a great point that a lot of these people are so overworked and they're so stressed out on whether or not they're going to keep their job. So I kind of get, you know, the change in attitude. You'd feel the same way if you were going through what they're going through, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just missing something because I don't see any of it. And maybe it's because I haven't been out enough and experienced a lot more, you know, just at different locations. But I haven't had, I mean, I love every single place I've been to, every retail establishment. I can't relate.
That's
on this
good.
One.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, in the set, Spud Bros said the same thing. They said that everyone here was so nice. So maybe there's a turnaround happening, and that is a good thing because we want people to keep coming back here, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, let's do it. It is time to win. Time to play Heads Up. and we are giving away two passes to check out the Brotherly Love podcast. This is really cool. So if you're a fan of the Lawrence brothers, you know, like Joey Lawrence and Matthew Lawrence, they have their own podcast. And Andrew. I don't want to forget
you.
Andrew.
Thank you. Don't forget about Andrew.
They have their own podcast called the Brotherly Love Podcast, and they're going to be doing it live here at the Strat in August. We've got your tickets right now with Heads Up. All you got to do is pick your category, get six answers in 60 seconds, and when you do, you are going to win these passes. Caller 20, you get to play right now. 702-364-9400.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
All right, Wendy, you are caller 20. You ready to play Heads Up?
Woo-hoo! Yes, absolutely. Woo!
All right, let's get you these passes for the Brotherly Love podcast. It's going to be so much fun. Pick a category. Do you want to go with Checkmate and Chill, Scoop, There It Is, Talk to Me Nice, or Code Red?
Scoop, There It Is.
Scoop, There It Is. Yeah. National Ice Cream Day was on Sunday, so these are all things that are associated with ice cream. And I can let you know I'm very well versed on this subject, so I think we're going to win, Wendy. Are you ready to do this?
Yeah, me too, girl, yeah.
All right, 6 and 60 seconds, and we will make you a winner. You ready?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Wendy? Here we go. Your 60 seconds starts now.
Sometimes you get these put on top of your ice cream. They're colorful, or they might
sprinkles.
Be. Yes. Instead of getting it in a cone, you get it in one of these.
A cup?
Yes.
A bowl?
This is a, you could get a cake one. You can get a sugar one, or you can pay extra and get one of these kind to put your ice cream in. They usually like make
waffle cone?
Yes, a waffle cone. This is a topping. It's very thick and chocolatey, and it's warm.
Syrup.
It's
fudge. Hot fudge.
Yes, hot fudge. When you hear this making noise in your neighborhood, you run out to buy some
ice
from.
Cream truck.
Yes. This is like a scoop of ice cream with some toppings on top and a cherry on top.
A sundae.
Yes, you got it. Congratulations.
Woo!
Just got those passes. Nice job, Wendy, to go check out the Brotherly Love podcast. That is coming to town. It's going to be at the Strat, and we are going to hook you up with those passes to check out that coming up. But we'll give you another chance for Heads Up to win these tickets tomorrow morning. It's Mix 94.1.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
And the Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
It turns out the CEO caught cuddling with his HR chief at the Coldplay concert might not be such an outlier after all. A new survey says that a third of U.S. workers have dated their boss. Yes, one in three. Let that sink in for a second. The Modern Workplace Romance Report found 79% of workers have had a long-term office romance, mm-hmm. and 32% of them hooked up with a supervisor.
Are you surprised by that number, Mercedes?
I think that's a lot of people. Yeah. Are you surprised?
I'm surprised it's so low.
Oh, you think it should be higher, really?
I'm not going to name names, but there's just a lot of past. Call it rumors, call it factual. I've just heard a lot of things. And, you know, speaking on the Coldplay situation, you know, it's because they were on Kiss Cam. It's because that he's a large figurehead is why everything's being amplified. But at the end of the day, these situations happen all the time. It's happening right now.
They say one in third coworkers, workers have dated their boss. So there's three of us here. I've never dated my boss.
I've never dated my boss. I have to think about it really quick. Yeah, I've never dated my boss. Julian?
No comment.
Okay, there we go. There's the one in three.
But hold on. Long time ago.
Okay.
This is before radio. This is a long time ago.
Was it in radio?
No.
Oh, okay. So it was in a different industry. Can you say the industry?
No.
Okay. Well, then I guess there's that.
I guess you got shut down.
I sure did. Nothing else is going to happen.
I just don't want anyone to put two and two together. You never know who's streaming or listening.
Okay.
Well, also this morning, there's something going down in Swiftie Nation. I don't know. Taylor's social media accounts are posting her albums one by one in order, and fans think it is more than just a stroll down memory lane. The countdown started with debut. And it has Swifties convinced that the Taylor's version of Debut is finally coming. Now, we got a text earlier when we talked about this asking, like, well, if she owns all her rights, why would she put out Taylor's version of Debut? Well, it's because she already had it ready to go before she had the rights to her albums. So why not put it out, new versions, and also never release songs from that era? So I think that's what we're looking at here. Every post is linking to her Eras Tour archival site and promoting an album listening party. So yeah, what is it building to? A surprise drop, a deluxe edition, a new cardigan? I don't know. If you're a Swiftie, you got to check on your Swiftie friends. They are watching this intently right now.
Thank you for breaking that down. And I'm excited by this. Anything that Taylor Swift puts out, I just can't help but to love. And to be honest with you, I'm a new Swiftie. You know, I went and saw her the Eras Tour. Was it like a year and a half ago or something like that?
Uh-huh.
And man, I'm hooked. Like, and I do not spend money on any concerts, and I paid the ginormous amount of money, and it was well worth it.
Yeah, it was fabulous. I saw it twice, and almost three times, but my flight got canceled to go to that one.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, she's an amazing performer.
How long were those? About 3 hours, 3+ hours.
3 hours and 20 minutes, I believe.
Did it feel like 20 minutes to you?
Yeah, it just zoomed by. I loved every moment of it, and I've even watched the Eras Tour concert movie like several times. It's that's how much I love it. Yeah.
Intense. Okay.
Finally, this morning, you might be still sweating in your shorts, but Starbucks says it's fall now. The pumpkin spice latte, it's coming back. You mentioned this earlier, Steph. August 26th.
Oh,
mark your calendars.
Yes.
Also making a comeback, the pumpkin cream cold brew, the iced pumpkin cream chai, and the pecan crunch oat milk latte. New this year, they have some things coming out for the fall. Italian sausage egg bites. Okay.
Okay.
The pecan cortado. I don't know what that is, but it sounds amazing. Pumpkin flavored creamers, coffees, and ready to go espresso bottles. They're already hitting the grocery store shelves. So yes, PSL season is creeping in like it always does. A little early, a little aggressive, absolutely unstoppable though.
Are you a PSL person?
I'm not. I don't like sweet coffee. I'm so boring with coffee. I just like the regular drip coffee with a splash of oat milk. That is it for me.
You're actually smart, but I will tell you, I've looked in this PSL situation. You cannot buy it. Steph, you cannot buy it.
Why not?
You can't, because I don't know if it's proprietary, and someone listening may relate, but I've looked on Amazon, I've looked on all these different websites, and
but I'm buying it on August 26th. What do you mean I can't buy it?
I'm sorry, you can't buy the actual syrup. I've looked to buy the syrup. Unless it's someone that's buying selling like a bootleg version.
Okay.
But yeah, no.
There's no pump. You're saying there's no way to buy pumpkin spice latte syrup.
You can buy the syrup from a different brand, but the Starbucks brand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you would think, I mean, I honestly thought it'd be a lot easier to locate. No, not the case.
I don't have any intentions of making it anyway, so yeah, that's not a problem for
me. That's the best part of it, is that you don't have to make it yourself. Have someone hand it to you. Fair. And enjoy it.
Spend $7, that's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, no worries. It's Mix 94.1. That's the espresso. Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. Julie, you got called out by someone you were messaging with.
And I'm annoyed that this person is annoyed at what I did. So I was trading messages with a buddy of mine, matter of fact, last night, and I like to leave voice messages. It's just easier for me. I don't like to text. I like to leave the voice text. And he says to me over text, just so you know, I don't like to listen to voice messages. I find it very obnoxious. He used this word, which really annoyed me, and annoying when people have their speaker phones in public. And the first thing I thought was, dude, have you ever heard of technology? You can A, lower the volume, or use AirPods, or just listen to it when you're not in a crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand his frustration. I do not like getting voice memo messages either.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I didn't want to be mean, but I did notice that when we first started texting, you would send me voice memo messages. And at first I played along and I'd send you one back.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, I don't like this. I don't like it. And it's nothing against you personally. It's just not my thing. I really prefer just getting the text so I can read it and absorb it. But like, he's got a point. Like, if you're out and about and you get it, like, I don't always have my AirPods on me. It is loud. Yes, you can turn the volume up and down and stuff. But it's like, if I could just look at it and get your message, that would make life so much easier.
Well, I get that. But what if, let's say hypothetically, I text you and then I have an afterthought, another thought, and I text you again. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have me just leave you a voice text?
I'd rather get the text.
Ah, see, that's annoying.
That's the Gen Z way to text. Like, I've adopted that from my daughters. Like, I send one message and it's like seven texts. Like, hey, send. What's going on? Send. I just saw someone you know, send. Like, it's just like boom, 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 boom. And then you look at your phone and you're like, I have 37 texts. What's going on? And then you realize what it is, you know?
I could not stand that. People that leave like fragmented text messages again and again. I just don't get it, because I want to get my whole thought out in the voice message. So that's kind of my thought process behind that. But hey, man, I guess I need to be Gen Z.
What about voice to text, where you're still speaking into it, you're still getting all your thoughts?
It's not accurate.
Then you go back and edit.
No,
you
it's
go
more work.
Through there. Well,
done it.
I'm just saying, like, for people that you have to adjust to different to people's different styles, I think when you're texting Mercedes, you type it out, you have everything already ready and focused, and it's not scattered, and you know what you're saying, and you send it.
Well, now I know how she feels.
Hey, I never asked you to stop doing it. So, yeah, you know, true. If that's your thing, that's your thing. I'm not going to tell someone how to live their life. What's your take on the voice text, Steph?
Okay, when me and my best friend Jessica, we text a lot. And there are times where I am very passionate about a subject, and so is she. So it is easier at times to do a voice message. But I much rather get a text message from her, because not only that, but the voice to text or voice text messages, they go away.
Oh.
So if I want to refer something, I'm like, oh my God, it disappeared.
I didn't know that.
I don't know how to save it. I don't know how to do any of that. So I'd rather see the text message for myself, go back to it if I need to refer to it, and then I can reply to her there. So I'm not a huge fan of the voice text, but if it's necessary, I don't mind it.
What is the little habit that people do that just is wildly or weirdly annoying? 702-364-9400. The one that gets me, and no offense if you've done this, it's just something that I'm like,
uh-oh.
Is when someone posts on Instagram and their caption is, I did a thing.
I actually,
I cannot stand that. I did a thing.
I did a thing. Oh my gosh.
Or have you guys done that? If so, I'm really sorry. It's not targeted towards anyone specifically. It's just a general thing.
No, I haven't done it, but the one that gets me is the caption with, I did a thing, and they just got like proposed to.
Yeah, it's I did a thing.
Okay. And then the other one is, life lately. Have you seen those captions?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
life lately. Oh my God.
I almost did that on my last Instagram post. I'm so good. I'm glad I did it.
Oh God.
Does that annoy you, ladies? Because you feel like they're shoving it in your face? What's the psyche behind that?
I think no, I don't worry about anyone, you know, posting whatever you want, shoving things in my face. It's more just like trying to be all cool. Life lately.
Oh, so cool.
I
too
did
cool
a
for
thing.
School.
I did a thing.
Star emoji, bride emoji, ring emoji, life lately. Like, what?
We're getting some texts here. Little things that annoy you. 702-364-9400. This one says, people who tell you look tired. Why do
That's
you
rude.
Even do that? Oh my gosh, that is the worst. You're like, well, I am, and now I know I look terrible. Thank you for the reminder, you know?
That's me every day. I don't know what I know people are probably like, dang, that girl looks terrible. Yeah, because I woke up at 3 a.m. to do my job. Of course I do. And I use my emoji is the sad eye bag emoji. That is me to a T.
I see that a lot from you these days.
Yes.
Does excessive emoji, does excessive use of emojis annoy any of you too?
No, I actually like it. I think it can enhance a text message. I do like it, but it depends on who it's from. Because I always get the thumbs up from my husband, and it's just such a dad emoji.
The thing with Matt, when I see those emojis, I'm like, oh, Matt, come on, switch it up a little bit. And you know he's probably using the recently used section of the emoji, so it's easy for him just to put the thumbs up.
That's how he communicates.
What about you, Ramon? Is there something that someone does that is really, like, annoying to you?
Yes, my wife, Jackie.
So when I send like a text message, sometimes it'll be two separate messages or one message, but asking multiple questions, and she only answers one question.
Oh.
And I'm like, so like I see her hours later. I'm like, so that question? She's like, what question? I was like, what are you talking about? I sent you two questions. Oh,
Ramon, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Leave a voice note.
No.
Yes. More.
I'm totally against that too.
Man, no, what's going on?
That's
here?
All you.
No one likes your voice note. Sorry, buddy.